things the Lord laid on her heart, and we'll try to just read, if nothing else, and mind the Lord over in Ecclesiastes, in the 11th chapter. No doubt it's a familiar scripture. It's something we've probably all read, and if we haven't read it, we've heard it. But just kind of want to read, and I'm going to read this whole chapter. There's just 10 verses in it. In the 11th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. And it begins to pray. The Lord just give us utterance and ability this morning. I texted Isaac early this morning, had him on our heart. He's preaching up at Pinnacle View this morning. And I texted him, you know, I pray that the Lord would use you for a vessel of honor this morning. And he texted back and he said, I appreciate that and I pray God would use you the same way this morning as a vessel of honor. And that's all I want this morning. I don't want to stand here, don't want you to see me. All I want you to see is what's in the vessel. And I'm nothing. But what's inside of me, that's everything. The Spirit of God. And when we realize that comment, we're just a vessel, that the only thing good will come from within the vessel, then we'll get somewhere. But this morning, that's all our prayer would be, is that God would just use us for a little while, maybe to be a help. But the 11th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet and pleasant thing, is a sweet and pleasant thing. It is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. For they shall be many, all that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. I just wanted to go ahead and read all that chapter. We got to thinking on some of these things, and we'll just maybe just hit just a little there in the beginning. I've preached from this before, about casting your bread upon the water. And after it said, for thou shalt find it after many days. And I just want to touch this just for a minute. I've preached that before, and I know that a lot of times that speaks of faith, and it gets preached as faith. Lord showed me something in that there several years ago. Jesus said that he was the bread, didn't he? And I thought about that. You can take bread. Jens may remember me preaching this, but it comes to my mind every time I read it. I said, you can take bread and you can throw it out here on water and it don't last long. It sure don't. It sucks up the water, and the next thing you know, there's every little old thing will come from the bottom and goes to picking it apart and eating it. And you can go back just a few minutes, Julian. You've been on the lake. It won't be there. It'll be gone. They stuff picked it apart and it's gone. But Jesus Christ himself, the true bread, got cast down into this earth. You put your trust in him and you put your eyes on him. He got cast into this world and he did not absorb this world. He did not get picked apart by this world. You want something that's going to last, you cast this bread on the water and you see that after many days, if you can't go back and find it just the same. And you can take from this bread, you can feed 7, you can feed 8. It's still feeding today just like it always has. I'm thankful for my Savior and I'm thankful that he's been cast upon the water, and after many days I still find him right here. His spirit is still right now striving with man. It's still working in our churches. It's still working in this. But I just wanted to touch that. Every time I read that, I think about that message God gave me. And you say, well, preacher, that sounds conceited. I'm telling you what, anytime God ever gives a man a message, it's just as much to me as it is to you. And there's things that you can go back and just keep feasting on. It ain't that I stand up here any time in anything I've ever preached and I can boast in it because it's not mine. I've not brought it out. The Lord's gave it. And I'm thankful when he gives you something, it'll stay with you. But either way, I want to move on down in that just a little, maybe hit on that third verse is where my heart was this morning. He said, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. And that's kind of what I've been thinking on this week a little bit there. And I know it's an expression we use a whole lot of times. You know, a tree falls at where it lies. And you think about that. And I would to God our people today would get to realizing there's coming a day that we're gonna breathe our last breath, Mike. There's coming a day. I thought about this tree that falls toward the north or toward the south. That's just the way it's gonna fall. Yeah. I mean, you can get out there and move that tree around after that, and you can point it toward the south. But you know which way it fell? Toward the north. That's just the way it fell. And it's the same way in our life. Once we fall, Daniel, once life is gone and this tree is no more attached, there's no more that you can get fruit out of it, there's no more that you can use that thing, it fell the way it fell and it went the way it went. And that's the same way in our lives. Well, when we die in this life, Mike, we're going to die lost or we're going to die saved. And the way you die is the way that you're gonna end up for eternity. We can take and go to the funeral home, Matt, and we can try to preach somebody all we want to. That they were saved, we can try to tell everybody how good they was, but I'm gonna tell you, you ain't gonna change the direction that person's going after they've drawn their last breath. If they die lost, they're lost. And we've got a lot of people today, Savannah, we try to make ourselves feel better. And we try to say, well, I tell you, just hopefully in that last breath, that last moment, that they may change. That's what we want. And we want to try to make ourselves feel better. But I want us to understand something. After the last breath is drawn and that tree is falling, that's the way it's going to lie. So while that tree's still standing, Mike, there's something that we need to be doing. While our people have still got breath, Bobby, in their bodies, while they still got our ear to hear, we need to be about God's business, Mike Paul, because when they leave here, Trevor, they're going to die lost and go to hell, and there's no change in that. As hard as we might try, there's a lot of people today, and just bear with me, I'm going to preach the way the Lord gave it to me. There's a lot of people today trying to say somebody's in heaven when they're truly in hell. They're trying to say they're somewhere they're not. Because a whole lot of it may be the guilt of knowing they didn't tell them about the Lord as much as they should have. That's why everything while we can, let's just be telling them, Audrey. While we've got an opportunity, we need to be realizing that our people's dying. Amen. We need to realize every chance we've got, every opportunity we've got, we need to be a telling this world about a Savior.
That very scripture that Olivia read to us this morning, I thank the Lord that can save us. Thank you, God.
I heard on the radio this morning, our man was talking about on the way to church, and he was talking about, for God so loved the world.
You think about that. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.
If He so loved us so much that He gave what was the most precious thing to Him, how much more do you reckon that we ought to so love Him? That's not just a little, oh, I love you, pat you on the back. That's so loving you enough that He gave His only Son. Savannah, you couldn't do it with that one right there.
But He did. And He made a way, Mikey. We didn't have to go to hell.
The way my tree should have failed, I should have went right straight to hell.
He gave me an opportunity at salvation.
You read on over in this chapter just a little. He says in that fourth verse, He said, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap."
Well, if we worry about everything, the weather, we worry about everything that's going on, we're never getting that done with me. Lord, I'm talking about working-wise.
I'm talking about natural in this life. If we was worried about every little old thing, every day there's something we get up that we can worry about, Pat.
Every day there's a reason or excuse, Mike, that I can make up not to do something. There's things I can always, there's always a reason that I don't need to go to work. I just ain't feeling right. Something happened, car's a little low on the car. There's always something I can come up with.
But He's talking about right here in this scripture about regarding some things. And He says in observing some things, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap."
You want to know what? I'm just going to read the definitions. You know what observing means? To see or to behold with some attention, to notice or to take heed of something. To give something caution or care. In other words, you're observing the wind. The winds are blowing, so I can't sow, Mark.
Regard basically means the same thing. Regarding the clouds, and you ain't going to reap.
We go through this life. We won't testify. We walk by somebody. And eagles and turn the bread aisle, we're over there looking at potato chips, and God comes by and he says, turn around and tell them I love them. Just turn around. Might sound simple, but God says, just turn around and tell them I love them. Just tell them I died for their sins, and we regard it because I'm in the grocery store. Well, I'm in a hurry. I've got to get out of here if I start talking. We got all kind of reasons, and you know what we'll do? We'll observe the wind. We'll observe things that's going to keep us from sowing. And you know what then's going to happen? We're going to look at the clouds and we're going to get worried about the clouds and we ain't going to reap. Mike, we get to consider it a little bit more. We get to regard a lot of things we ought not regard.
We get to worry about things that we shouldn't be worried about.
Sunday night, man. What if when the Lord led you to this church, you'd have regarded something else or observed something else that hadn't come? Hey, what if you'd observed some things that you shouldn't have been observing and regarded some things that you shouldn't have been regarding? You might not have that brother sitting beside you and this one sitting on this side of you.
Chad, Dana, what if you had regarded and observed some things in your life and you didn't have your family in church and you'd have had them out hiking and camping on the Sundays and the Wednesdays when they should have been in church?
You wouldn't have got to reap. Mike, what if down through the years you'd have got aggravated, you and Earlene had regarded and observed some other things, then we wouldn't be seeing your family. glad we're sitting in church. I want us to understand some things, Judy. These trees are going to fall. Trees are going to fall. They'll live so long that they're going to fall.
Either by way of nature or something will cut them down, Colin.
And the way they fall, they're going to lie. It's up to me and you. You know something I ain't good at, Chad, or somebody that's good at cutting trees at life at me? I can't follow a tree the way it ought to go for nothing. I can't, Mike Paul. I just ain't got that in me. I ain't that guy that can cite that tree and say, well, if I knock it this way, Chad, and I cut it this way here, and I come around with that perfect cut, I'll lay it right where it's going. I can't do it. And I've learned that in my life. I just can't. There's some people knows just how to knock it. Knows just how to even that cut out on that back cut to make that thing just lean and turn the perfect way that it needs to go. And you know who knows how to do that? My God. He knows right the way to follow a tree. You know what he does? He puts the Word of God in a man's hands. And his Spirit does the work on that right there. And you know what? Me and you out in this world, we don't need to be regarding the wind. We don't need to be observing the wind and regarding the clouds. We need to let that Spirit do the leading in our life. And we need to be working on these people's lives with the Spirit of God. And letting it move them. Letting it follow them the way they want to go.
Amen.
Over in Proverbs, in the 11th chapter, our people is a dying. They are going to fall one day, Howard. They're going down. And the Bible says in the Proverbs 11th chapter. Find one place there. Let me read about the 4th and 4th verse, maybe a little bit down from our riches. Profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When the wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of the unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh to his stead. I thought about those scriptures along with what we were studying, and about our people in this life don't realize they're going to hell until somebody tells them, do they? Our lost people in this world early has got an expectation that everything's going to be all right when they die. The Bible tells every man's ways is right in his own eyes. If it wasn't for the Church of Jesus Christ today standing firm and not regarding and not observing the wind and the clouds and worrying about what's going on around us, our people, they wouldn't be able to see what they need. That's why the church is still here, Mike. Because the wicked, the unrighteous has got an expectation. And when they die, their expectation perishes.
That's good.
It dies. I still think about Bruce, and that he'll never leave me. I was talking about him this week. Earlene, I held his hand up in the hospital. He looked me in the eyes and he said, I guess I'll just see what happens. Guess I'll just see what's there when I die. Man had an expectation in his life. It still grieves me to this day to think where he lifted his eyes.
He had an expectation, Bobby, and he thought it'll be all right. I'll just take it as it comes. Yeah. I've handled everything else through life. I can handle whatever's thrown at me after life. Well, I'm here to tell you today, hey, you can't.
I'm here to tell you today.
There's a world today that's a curse in our Savior. Hey, that they're running His name down, trying their best to do so. And they've got an expectation, hey, that I'll just live how I want to live, and everything will be just fine. I'll die, I'm buried, and I'll never remember a thing. But I'm here to tell you today that's a lie straight out of hell. Hey, when that tree falls, it's going to lay a certain way. It'll either lay saved or it'll lay lost.
I'll get on over in this just a minute. That's an expectation in a lost man's life. When he dies, his expectation will perish. There's hope in a child of God's.
Listen, I'm going to read something else back over in that 10th chapter. Listen to this. 28th verse. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. We've got hope.
And our hope's going to be gladness one of these days. For the little bit of suffering here and the glory that we'll get to inherit one of these days. I'm glad I've got somewhere that I'm going. I'm glad I've got something better than what I can even imagine. My people ain't got that. Our lost people ain't got that. I thought about David. We went to church up there at Jones Valley the other night, and Tommy says he come through, and he was up there planting papers. He's worried about having something to come up that he can eat on naturally. But in his life right now, he ain't worried about what he's going to have to face when he closes his eyes in death. That's the way we all get, or was as we were lost.
Man don't want to have to realize what he's going to face. That's why a lot of preachers ain't preaching hell no more. Not willing to tell people the truth anymore.
You die lost. That's what he's going to lift your eyes. You don't know the Lord, you're going to lift your eyes in hell. I want somebody to tell that young man right there one of these days when he comes to an age. I want to tell our youngins. You die lost, and God has given you an opportunity, and you deny that. When you die, it ain't going to be when you was a good old boy. It ain't going to be you as a member and you got baptized. No, He's going to look for blood. He's going to look, Jay, for the blood of His darling son that was shed because God so loved this world that He gave Him. That whosoever would believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yeah, we need to preach to them there's a heaven, but we need to preach to them there's a hell too. Don't they miss that? And they miss it all. You seek the pleasures of this life, you seek everything this world's got to offer, you live it up, you have fun. All you want to, and you deny God, you'll go to hell.
That tree falls, it's going to lay the way it lays.
We stay so busy anymore, we ain't thinking about it. Church people ain't thinking about the lost, and the lost man ain't thinking about dying.
Well, when he said he was coming, Jennifer, the hour that she thanked God.
You think you've got another 30 years, 40 years? We don't know, Matt. You think you got another day, Julian? We don't know. should we be regarding the wind, observing the wind, and regarding the clouds?
When God said, so, so. It's quiet in here this morning. You know what a man would like to do when it gets quiet and everybody's looking at you sleepy-eyed? You know what I like to do?
I just like to say, okay, that's it. We're done. Everybody go home and get you a nap. We'll come back tonight.
Huh? Do you want to know what God's called me to do?
Preach. Instant. In season. And out of season. Rebuke, reprove, and exhort with all long suffering. You know what that means? It's a little windy. So. You see them clouds? So. Reap. Because if we regard and observe everything that's going on around us, there'll always be a reason not to preach the gospel. There'll always be a reason. There'll always be something comes up to keep you from testifying to somebody that needs to hear it. There'll always be something to stop the gospel if it can.
I got to thinking about all this scripture. I got to thinking about that tree falling. And it laying the way that it lays when it falls.
I couldn't help. I went over and I read over in Luke about that rich man. And I got to read about all that. I got to really just contemplating on it and thinking about that man's life. Do you realize he had everything this world could offer? And he had his life consumed with every bit of pleasure that he could find.
Where did he end up? In hell, he lifted up his eyes.
What was Lazarus consumed with? Was he chasing down, making sure he ate good every night? Was he looking for the best clothes? Was he trying to live in the finest of houses? Sometimes when he looked and say, maybe he just couldn't do no better. You know what I wonder so many times is if he didn't just choose to live the way he did so he could get to the rich man's gate every day. Every day, Louise, that rich man had to look outside his gate and see that man. And he might have been able, Daniel, to fare sumptuously every day.
He might have had the same abilities that rich man had.
Have you ever thought about that?
Maybe one night on his bed, Jay, maybe God burdened his heart just a little bit.
Maybe God said, son, get out there in them highways and them hedges and you start compelling them.
All that rich man, all that beggar ever said he needed there, he just begged for the crumbs.
He just begged for the crumbs, Mike. He didn't regard nothing else. He didn't deserve nothing else. All he wanted, sis, was to get just a crumb, just to get him by. He wasn't chasing all these other things like we get to chase them a lot of times. You know what he's worried about? Maybe he's worried about a rich man that's going to hell. And who knows, maybe he was worried about that old lame beggar that lay beside him. Maybe he's worried about that other that's laying across the street from where he was. It's in the same shape he was. Maybe he was trying his best to show Jesus to him.
Because he realized when that man closes his eyes, there's a hell he'll lift them in. And he done everything he could.
So we'll preach that man still died and went to hell. But you know what? Lazarus done all he could do. And all he could do, he so loved him enough that he laid his life down his gate every day. You work around people, go still with people. Lay your life down for them every day. Let them see if you're chasing the things of God versus the things of this world. Say you put God first. Say, preach,
You trying to hinder us down where we can't go have fun, we can't go do, and all these things. My family's planning a vacation right now. I'll just tell you.
You want to know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray that when we go on that vacation, maybe God will open the doors for us. There's reasons in everything you do and everywhere you go. There ought to be a purpose behind what you're doing. We go to Charleston. Lord, put me a lost person up my path. We stopped to get an ice cream cone, let me witness to the one that's skipping it out. Well, you're just trying to sound righteous. No, I'm telling you what, that's the way God wants His children to be. Because that tree that you might encounter for 5 minutes scooping your ice cream out may fall and lay down in hell within the next day or so. And you say, I'm on vacation, or I'm gone, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. I'm getting off work, and I'm tired. We've got every reason in this world, and everything we observe, but in everything we do, we need to be sowing some seed. Don't worry about it. If it was calling for rain, I had a tent in the truck because I was going to work. They called for rain next week, early. I was building a tarp over what I was supposed to be working on the next week. Because I wasn't going to miss no work. I made plenty of men mad because I did it rain and I don't get to work today. No, I got to pick before we go work. You know what? I ain't like it no more. I get up praying sometimes, Lord, is it sprinkling? Can I lay here just a little bit longer?
Yeah. As I've got older, I've started regarding them things and observing them a little more and letting them hinder me.
When we was young and on fire for God, we didn't let nothing get in our way. We was just like some of these young ones right here. We had a fire in our life, and you wouldn't slow us down for nothing. We was going to pray. We was going to read our Bible. We was going to testify. We was going to sing. We was going to do something for God. But we didn't observe the wind. We didn't regard the clouds.
There wasn't nothing to stop you. I got saved at 12 years old.
There wasn't a doctor around intimidated me enough. Well, I didn't tell them about who my God was and what He'd done. But you know what? We got older, and a lot of us now, we keep our seat. We don't say much.
We get out in our communities. We don't want to offend. We don't want to hurt no feelings.
We want to be politically correct in everything we do. We need to quit regarding a few things and observing a few things. And let's get some and see and doing some reading. Because our people is that tree, Conley. The way it follows. It's going to lay. There's a God in heaven that knows just how to notch it, and just how to make that back cut, and just how to lay it the way it needs to go. And it'll fall right. This man died and lifted his eyes in hell. And for all his efforts, as far as I know, Cheryl, that's the only account that we've got from hell. Jesus Himself gave us this, where we've got a record of someone talking back out of hell. Just one record of it. And what was that man doing? Begging for a drop of water to cool his tongue. He was tormented in where he was at. Begging for that. What else is he begging for, Mike? Go back and tell my brothers. Send Lazarus back to tell my brothers. Not to come to this place.
No, he couldn't get it.
One record of a man that will never leave that place. I hope his brothers regarded the preaching of Moses and the prophets. I hope they didn't go there with him, right? I hope somewhere they got saved. And I'm going to tell you what, if they did, they lifted their eyes right where the brother did.
they heard the gospel, God saved their soul, they lifted their eyes right there with ladders. Them angels came and carried them right into the comforts of Abraham's bosom, just like he did Lazarus. We need to understand the seriousness of this. Every day of our life, we're encountering people that's going to die lost. We need to be solid, Mike. We don't need to be regarding and observing all these things that's a hindrance to us in getting the gospel out. Don't do nothing else. Look at your own life if you're saved. Where would you be if somebody had quit? Where would you be if a man of God had gave up and not preached the gospel to you? Your friend would have failed and you'd have died and went to hell. Somebody loved you enough. Somebody stayed firm. Somebody stayed with the truth. We've got hope, Art. We've got hope. It's happiness. Lost man's expectations going to perish. I knew of a boy who got buried one time. Died drunk in a car wreck. Young man in his 20s. I didn't get to be there, but I heard it from a couple of different accounts. They had wrote on his casket. From his daddy and said, "Son, I'll see you in hell. We'll have to be when I get there." Why, that's a big expectation, ain't it? Don't we party like we used to? When I get there, me and you'll reunite and have us a beer. That's what they expect. That's what they're looking for. Do you want to know what they got? When they lifted their eyes, they said, screaming just like the rich man for one drop of water. They're begging for somebody. I bet just as quick as that boy lifted his eyes in hell, somebody go back and tell my daddy it ain't what we thought. Somebody go back and tell my daddy it ain't a party down here. You can't even get no water there. Can't even get a drop of water there. And I can tell you this, they ain't going to be no nasty alcohol there neither. They'll be telling them all they can, church. Because when they lift their eyes there, they won't be no more telling them. They won't be no opportunity for them to come out. Like I say, you can drag a dead tree around all you want to, but it fell the way it fell. And it landed where it landed. You'll never change that. We can preach these dead bodies all we want to. We ain't changed where the soul landed. I don't know if that's different or what it was, but that's what God gave me this morning. We need to listen to these things. Take heed. Don't take heed to the wind. Don't take heed to the clouds, but take heed to the warnings that God's sending out. It ain't going to be long, Mike. We've heard it preached for years. Lord's a coming. The hour that you think not. Who woke up this morning truly thinking the Lord was coming back? We're His people if we're saved. Did you wake up really thinking that today? Be honest. No, we didn't. No. We're going to go. We're going to sit through another service. We're going to go eat down Delta Paul. And then we're going to go back home. We're going to take our nap. We'll come back full as a tent and sit on a pew again Sunday night. We'll get up on Monday. We'll go back to work. Wednesday roll around and
We're trying to make the church again. We're getting into such a form and such a fashion. Old time our people's dying. And we're not expecting the Lord to come back. We say it. Do you know how many lost people in a day's time tells me, well, people can't see it now. They just ain't going to see it. How many lost people tells me that? See people and angels in there that's living like sin all in their life, every day of it, does not darken the door of the church, never goes to do a thing for the Lord, and I'll stand out there and talk to them in an aisle, and they'll tell me, boy, it ain't going to be long. Some of them won't believe what is coming out of the mouth of them. You thought you was going to die. You'd be doing things different, wouldn't you? Why, you go down here. Imagine if you went down here in the morning and you had a doctor's appointment and they said, son, you got stage 4 cancer. Or let's say they said you had stage 2 or something like that, some early stage cancer. What's the treatment? Have we caught it in time? That's the first question that people come down with. How long? Before it spreads. Is it aggressive? What do I got to do? Well, that'd be the first thing out of your mouth. Will chemo get it? Will radiation touch it? Can you cut it out? What do you start trying to do? You start trying to get rid of what's killing you, don't you? If people was truly worried and truly thinking that the Lord has come back, you want to know something? We'd have them filled up the church this morning. We'd have the fellowship hall. We'd have been out in the parking lot. They'd have been all the lesser sitting in every church in our communities trying their best to get their life right with God. Nobody believes it, Mike. Or we'd see a difference. But it's our place to keep a preaching it, keep a telling it. Because it's through the church that they're going to see the difference. It's through our lives, Mike. It's going to make a difference in them, Danny. Maybe they drive by. They know your car, Earlene. There's Earlene at church again right now, Sunday after Sunday. There's Aiden's truck parked out there. He's back at church. Start making a difference in their life. Because they see somebody that's not observing the wind, regarding the rain, the clouds. It's somebody that's dedicated. They see you out in the store. They see you acting like a Christian. They see you down at the beach. They see you acting like a Christian. They see you going down the road with your windows down singing a song. They see you acting like a Christian. Lord, give us this morning. I thank the Lord.